Father, we just thank you again for your Shabbat, for a time of coming together, for your Ruach HaKodesh, for your Holy Spirit to come lead, guide, direct us, convict us, teach us, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you for your feast season that we are in, of hearing the trumpet, of knowing that one day that last trump will sound, of just having celebrated Yom Kippurim, the day when blood was applied in the Holy of Holies. And Father, we're getting ready to celebrate Sukkot, looking forward to you tabernacling with us. Messiah, of your return, of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we choose this day, and may we say, as for me and my house, we shall serve Yahweh. Brother Wes said we were just here together Thursday, most of us. Our country is continuing to seemingly not take care of the things that need to be taken care of, and instead concerned with the trivial, the inane, or making sure that evil gets put on the forefront. No uproar about the elections in California that seem to have lost so many votes calling for the recall of the governor. And instead, he stood up and proudly announced what all this vote was for. None of it was about corruption, none of it was about his lack of, it was all a yes vote for science, for vaccines, for women's right to do whatever they wanted to with their body, except for refusing the vaccine, except for defending their bodies, except for having freedom when they travel, except for all the things that the government wants to do to them. Nobody is yet taking any responsibility for Afghanistan, for all the turnover to the Taliban of all the military hardware, so that now they are one of the most formidable forces in the world where before they did good keeping control of their own country. Now we've armed them to the teeth. The report just came out of where they're settling the Afghan refugees that were brought to America, although the reports are that the Afghans that left the airport got offloaded in Middle Eastern countries and the plane were refilled with young single men that were brought to America. But don't worry, Mississippi is getting 10. So we're not being excluded. The crisis on the southern border is continuing. They're trying to talk down in Del Rio, Texas, because the bridge across the border there already has thousands and thousands of migrants camped around and under the bridge, and supposedly tens of thousands more on the way. How they knew to get there, why they know to get there, no one knows. But the FAA shut down all airspace over there because the reporters were flying drones and taking pictures, and the locals were, of the huge migrant camps on the other side. It's all of a sudden for safety reasons. No more drones. Biden is continuing with his mandates and vowing again to take out any governor that's standing in his way. Supposedly our governor is joining in on the side of freedom, no mandates, But at the same time, the Mississippi State Board of Medical Licensure, you can go to their website. It's one of the first. If you go to it and hit their procedures and laws, it's on the top. The COVID-19 Reporting Act or something like that. I was looking at it yesterday, but I don't remember. You click on it, and it basically says any medical professional in the state of Mississippi, because they are trusted by the public and have immense sway, cannot put out any false information about the COVID-19 or the treatment of or the vaccine that goes against the published science, or they will be subject to censure, fines, and losing their license. Who's executive director? John, Kevin, Keith.
Cleveland.
And his phone number is there. I had it written down and I walked off today and left my Bible, left my brain book. But you can look on that website. He signed the name and there is a 601 number to call the board. You can go online and fill out a complaint form to the board. I encourage you to look up. You can look up Governor's site. Delbert Holman is Lieutenant Governor, his site. Both of their numbers to their switchboard is there. Doubt very serious if you get to talk to them. But if you call in and say, I am concerned about the ruling of the Mississippi State Board of Medical Licensure and them interfering in my health choices with me and my doctor, because that's exactly what they're doing. Your doctor is now not allowed to give you advice, opinion, medical facts that don't line up with what Fauci is saying. And I think if we don't stand up now, when will we stand? If we've not heard the trumpet blasts of our nation falling into decay, what else do we need to see? It may be useless calling them. I have no idea. But I know one day I will stand, one day I will have to answer for what I did or did not do. And I know prayer changes much. I know the scripture also says if I look at my brother who's hungry and tell him, go, be filled, and I don't give him a biscuit, he probably gonna still be hungry after I pray. I encourage you, very rarely do I say we should step out and do something with our government, and I still don't have much faith in them. But our unelected Mississippi government is doing different from what our elected Mississippi government is doing, and that just ain't right. There's the switchboard number to our House of Representatives, but they're not in session right now, so I'm not sure it's working, but I'm sure you can find an email to Philip Gunn, to your local representative. Well, I'm not sure if it's the same here as it is over where to us. Well, I don't know, but you can find it. Google it, DuckDuckGo it, call Jackson and ask. call our federal representatives. I'm sure Roger Wicker, Trent Kelly, our others know Tater's number and will probably get to him faster than we will. And complain to them about what's going on in their state. Deuteronomy 5. Verses 1 through 33 or 30, depending on which translation you have, but it's basically the entire chapter. Moshe called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the laws and right rulings which I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and guard to do them." Let me stop right there. Who is this for?
Israel.
Israel. Who did Paul say was the commonwealth of Israel?
We are.
Is it not those who were necessarily born and those who were
grafted in?
Grafted in as well. And how were you grafted in?
Through Messiah.
Through Messiah. If you believed in Messiah, then according to Scripture, you are of the commonwealth of Israel. Now, does that follow Torah? Yes, because how did you become a citizen of Israel in Torah?
You followed all the rules and stuff.
You followed all the rules and the regulations of Torah, believing that Yahweh was the one and true God, and said, "I want to follow Him." And the Scripture says if you did that, there is no difference between
the native and
the native born and the grafted in. Now, the nation of Israel today doesn't recognize that. I can't call them up and tell them I'm a believer and get citizenship. But last time I checked, they weren't on the throne of heaven either. Nor do I follow the mandates of the nation of Israel. I believe he's talking of spiritual Israel here, true Israel. The true Israel still has a God, a king, as we sang today, sitting on the throne, and he hasn't changed. What he gave for their good, he gave for our good. Why would that change? We sing songs as a little child, "Give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me," but then we don't want the old time religion. Oh, not that old. Not that far back. Why not? Wouldn't you want the original? Is not the original and anything worth way more than what's been printed after and after and after? I mean, if you have the original, in most places you are set. It is worth the most. I'll give you a little clue. If you don't have the original here, photocopies are not allowed.
But if we look at the original now as an antique and set it up on the shelf and look at it and don't use it, although it's too valuable.
Too valuable. Yahar Elohim made a covenant with us in Horeb. He did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. Yah spoke with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between Yah and you at that time to declare to you the word of Yah, for you were afraid because of the fire. You did not go up on the mountain, saying, I am Yah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. You have no other mighty ones against my face. You do not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of which is in the heavens above, of which is in the earth beneath, of which is in the water under the earth. You do not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, Yah, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the crookedness of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving commitment to thousands, to those who love me and guard my commands. You do not to bring the name of Yah your Elohim to naught, for Yah does not leave him unpunished who brings his name to naught. Guard the Sabbath day to set it apart, as Yah your Elohim has commanded you. 6 days you labor, you shall do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yah your Elohim. You do not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, so that your male servant and your female servant rest as you do. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Mitzrayim, that Yah your Elohim brought you out from there by a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yah your Elohim commanded you to perform the Sabbath day. Let's stop right there, because we've had a little questioning, especially during this season, of the calendar, feast days, Sabbaths. I believe the scripture says, be convinced in your heart and worship appropriately. Paul said, let no man judge you. But the commandments here said, 6 days man shall work, and on the seventh he shall rest. I have difficulty with a calendar that doesn't have 6 days of working and 1 day of resting. If you got 2 or 3 days and then the day changes and then you count from there, to me, you're not having 6 days in 1 day. Scripture is cyclical, over and over and over. And it's meant to be easy, over and over and over. So while I don't know that it is a definitive answer, when I see things in Scripture that says you'll celebrate this day from evening to evening, it seems to me that Yah wants me to celebrate it from evening to evening, whether it makes sense to me or not. When Yah says you'll work 6 days and rest on the seventh, I'm assuming he meant I'd work 6 days and rest on the seventh. If someone else is showing me how that's not so, I'm going to be extremely careful. Yah says he made scripture simple so that all could understand, that the wisdom of this world, but that the scripture would confound the wise of this world. Why would it confound them?
Too simple.
Yeah, too simple. We don't like that. We want something that you've got to come. Let me tell you, you just don't understand. Well, God wants it where the youngest could understand. Especially on something like this, the 10 things he spoke, they're not difficult to understand. How difficult is it to understand? Don't have any other gods. Don't even make an idol of me and bow down to it. That's not me. Don't say things about me that ain't so. Don't put my name as a rubber stamp on your stuff. I don't take kindly to that. Nor will I forget it. Work 6 days, give me one. If your mama and your daddy got smacked across the head, that's bad. It's not hard things. But I think many times, as Messiah said, by your vain traditions, you've made the word of God of none effect. Just as the Pharisees had this convoluted system where they could say this, do that, and now it was all right. I didn't have to do what Scripture said. We do the same. John and I both worked at a little local grocery store, and some of the youngsters there would do more work trying to get out of work than if they would have just done the work. It's idiotic, some of the lengths people go through to disobey. I don't have the smarts to keep all that straight. I don't have the energy to keep all that straight. And then when I obey, the Scripture says blessings overtake me. When I don't, curses overtake me. I'm thick, but I'm not that thick. And when it comes to whether man's going to take care of me or God's going to take care of me, that doesn't seem like a very hard choice either. Respect your father and your mother, verse 16, as Yah Elohim has commanded you, so that your days are prolonged, so that it is well with you on the soil which Yah Elohim is giving you. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, do not covet your neighbor's wife, nor you desire your neighbor's home, his field, his servant, his male servant, female servant, his ox, his donkey, or whatever belongs to your neighbor. These words Yah spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. What's hard to understand there? Now, in case we misunderstood it, he gave us right rulings, mitzvahs, commands, how to begin to act these things out. What does it look like not to covet? Well, that means when I see my neighbor's donkey in the field, I have to take him and take care of him like he's mine. And when my neighbor comes looking for him, I give it back to him. If I find something laying in the middle of the road, I take it home and I see if the owner comes looking for it. If it does, I give it back to him. I don't take things that aren't mine. I don't base my life off of what others have. I'm satisfied with what God puts into my hand, and I trust that He will take care of me, give me, provide for me. It's really not that hard. The hard part is for my heart to accept that Daddy knows best. That He really loves me and has my best in mind. That the grass really isn't greener on the other side. If it is, because it's just over the septic tank, you don't want it anyway. And when we get that settled in our hearts, man, what a blessing that Messiah came to save us. What a blessing that he enabled us, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a blessing that now I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not left wondering, wandering, having to see if I'm led by the Spirit here, led by... Hallelujah for the Spirit that leads me. And I hope he whacks me upside the head when I get going the wrong way. Because hopefully I'm only going the wrong way because I'm being disobedient. And I hope I'm not going to be disobedient. But the more you study, the more you know. And a whole lot easier it is to stay on the straight and narrow when you know what the straight and narrow says to stay on. Just the other day, we've been looking for a dog because one of our dogs disappeared. Someone blessed themselves with him, I guess. I had a German Shepherd when I was a child. He used to take care of us. So I've always thought it'd be nice to have a German Shepherd. Then on Facebook, here's somebody saying, please, somebody come get this poor German Shepherd. Running around, nobody's claimed her. We've tried finding the owner, nobody wants her. Somebody just come get her. About a week later, we said, is it still there? And they said, yep, so we went and got it. She was skin and bone. Started feeding her, bringing her back, trying to get her up. Gave her a bath. She smelled like she'd been running around for several weeks. But we giving her a bath, we all mean Ruth took care of her. Ruth is Dr. Doolittle at our house. Not by doing little, but by like being able to talk with animals, understand animals, loves all animals. And then lo and behold, about a week or so after we got her, all of a sudden everybody in the state of Alabama figured out that was their dog. And started calling us, calling the people that they've called, my sister, calling my aunts. Didn't call me direct, but called all my outlaws in-laws, said, hey, please talk to your brother, your nephew, your cousin. They got my dog. Well, the problem is I only had one dog. There were more people whose dog it was than was dogs. So we said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? It was pretty easy. Tor said, find out whose it is, and that's whose it is. So I told him, don't mean to upset you, but I don't know you. Can't be everybody's dog. Only one person wants a dog. Show me it's your dog. One person showed me it was their dog. So then I said, if you want it, we a couple hours away, come get him. The scripture says, when your neighbor comes by, didn't say you got to take it to your neighbor. I figured if it's your dog, I drove a couple hours to get the dog, and wasn't even my dog. If you want your dog, come get him. And he said, when can I come get him? So I said, come get him tomorrow, but I'll meet you. Didn't quite know who he was or necessarily want him at my house. So I met him at a gas station about 7-8 miles away. And when he got there, it was evident he was his dog. He bought more proof, brought his wife. Be blessed. Let the dog go home. I still don't know how your dog was missing for weeks and you don't know it. Don't put it out. Don't care. But you know what? Tor didn't say just because you think he ain't treating the dog right, don't give it back. I had my suspicions because the dog had been pregnant lately. So she still had her teats extended. But I didn't really have a choice. I called the children. We can do what Tor says to do, or we can decide we know best. It's amazing what Altor will answer for us if we have studied, if we seek, if we ask. And then it doesn't matter my feelings, my wonderings, I say, okay, Father, you know best, and this is what you say, so I'm going to trust you in this regardless of my feelings. It was easy because the children, when we read the Torah, already knew what was going to happen. So it wasn't a lot of crying, moaning, groaning, because they already knew this is what Scripture says, that you know that's what that is going to do. I'm not saying there was no sadness, that we didn't like it. It was amazing when we took the dog back, the dog came over and put her head between our legs. And people said, oh, she's saying bye to you. I'm like, that could be what she's saying, but. Don't know. She didn't have a voice, nor did she have a choice. But it makes life a lot easier when I don't have to figure it all out on my own. And I can trust that God is going to take my case, and I trust God's going to take that dog's case. I trust that when I told that man, you know, we won't do what's right, we won't do what's scriptural. And I asked him when I got there, I said, what happened to our puppies? And he gave me an answer. He looked a little surprised. So I didn't shy away. And I told him, I said, man, she lost a lot of weight. She ain't been fed for a while. So I hope I encouraged him, if things weren't right, to do right, to do better. She looked rather healthy in all the pictures he sent. And sometimes bad things happen to good people. So somebody may have stole his dog. She may have got loose. I don't know what happened. But the last few years have been easier for us. We always wanted to do what God was saying to do. And we would pray and wonder. And hallelujah, in our youthfulness, ignorance, many times he would lead us, guide us. And as we came more and more to the Torah walk of learning that the whole Testament was for us, the more and more we saw we were already doing what Torah said to do. He had already led us. He had already showed us. He had already convicted us. We had already stopped doing that, started doing that. Or doing a semblance of, doing what we knew to do. What a blessing. That he was already protecting us, preparing us, leading us, guiding us. And that's what the feast seasons are about. Trying to prepare, trying to be led, trying to remember back what he's already taken others through, and what he's taken us through, and also looking ahead and going, oh, no. But hey, he's taken them through that before he'll take us through. Last time I looked, we weren't out making bricks every day with no hay, being hit with a whip. It ain't as bad yet as it could be. Last time I looked, I still had food in my house, electricity in my house, and something to defend my house with. It ain't bad as it is in some places. There is a reason why there are thousands and thousands gathered on our southern border, because they believe, unlike many who live here, that this is a place worth dying to get to because it's better than where they are. We better believe it's a place worth dying to keep, or we're going to lose it. 23, it came to be when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, see, Yah, our Elohim, has shown us his esteem and his greatness. We have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. Today we have seen that Elohim speaks with man, and he lives. Now why should we die? For this great fire is consuming us. If we hear the voice of Yah, our Elohim, any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living Elohim speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and does live? You go near and hear all that Yah our Elohim says, and speak to us all that Yah our Elohim says to you, and we shall hear and do it. Yah heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and Yah said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken to you. They have done well in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them to fear me and to guard all my commands always, so that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Does that sound like a Torah of cursing?
No.
Does that sound like chains that bind you down? Or is that our Creator, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name, saying, oh, that they would do this forever, and their children, that it might be well with them. Now who are you going to believe, man's words? Are words that our Father himself spoke. Go, say to them, return to your tents, but you stand here by me, and let me speak to you all the commands and the laws and the right rulings which you are to teach them. And they shall do them in the land which I am giving them to possess. You shall guard to do as Yah your Elohim has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in the ways which Yah your Elohim has commanded you, so that you shall live and it be well with you. You shall prolong your days in the land which you possess. Now let's stop right there. He said, do these where?
In the land that you're going to possess?
In the land which I'm giving you to possess. Now there is a doctrine among some messianic, some Hebrew roots, whatever you want to call it, that you only have to obey these if we are in the land. Where were they when he gave the Ten Commandments?
In the wilderness.
Where? Outside of the land, in the wilderness. So, adultery was okay when they were in the wilderness?
No.
Idolatry was okay while they were in the wilderness? Murder was okay while they were in the wilderness. Did he not plague those who committed idolatry and adultery with the Midianites to the point where the plague was running through the camp and Phinehas had to go and spear right through the middle of them to stop the plague? Where was that?
The wilderness.
Wilderness. Did the man not keeping Sabbath and bringing sticks not get brought before Yah? And stone, where was that?
In the wilderness. The
wilderness. The Egyptian who blasphemed Yah's name, took his name in vain, did he not get killed? Where was that?
In the wilderness.
The wilderness. And guess what? It couldn't mean only into the land which you were going. If it meant that, 2.5 the tribes never had to obey any of them. Because they never went to the land he gave them to possess. They said, let this be our possession. And Moses said, as long as you go in, fight with your brothers till all the land settle, that'll be fine. God said, you can have this area. And the land he sent them to possess is a lot smaller than the land he promised Abraham. And the land he promised Abraham, even then he said, I'll make your seeds like the sands of the sea. And even of his promise, he said, I'm going to scatter them to the four corners because they disobeyed. And when they began to obey, I'll gather them back together. Well, where are they when they're scattered to the four winds?
Out of the land.
Out of the land. How could they obey to be regathered if they didn't have to obey if they weren't in the land? Now, were there things specifically you had to do in the land? Yes. I had to go to Jerusalem when there was a temple, although at the time there was no Jerusalem, but by the time Messiah. Some of those things I cannot fulfill today because there's nowhere to go and offer. But Scripture does not hold that we are without account because we're not in the land. You know that from the time of Messiah, because of the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from where? All over. They said, are we not Cyrenians, Macedonians, Egyptians? How do we hear all the language on? Why? Because even then, all the faithful were obeying and coming back when he said to come back. They weren't all in the land. Just want to encourage you, don't be caught up in man's teaching when Scripture plainly shows by example God did differently. I don't think God was schizophrenic. I don't think he was like, oh, well, that applies right here for these not in the land, but then when they get in the land, it only applies in the land, though. You can see over later it didn't apply when they were in the land, but I mean, that doesn't make it. You know what? If it don't make sense, it probably don't make sense. And God is not the author of confusion, so there's a good chance God's not the author. And there's a good chance if I go back to what he is the author of, there'll be a whole lot less confusion. When you have to explain to me why the Bible says what the Bible says without the Bible by something else, I got a problem with that. If the Bible says it, you ought to be able to use the Bible to show that the Bible says it. Does that make sense? If you got to show me by something else why the Bible says what the Bible says, and it means something else because over here it says it means something else, I've got a problem. Now, does that mean that the Bible does not quote other books, mention other books, that we can't study other books, look at other things? No argument. The Bible mentioned some books that they've recovered pieces of that were not included in what I have right before me. Not going to get in an argument with you whether those are canon, not canon. But I can tell you, God says he does not contradict himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And something that contradicts Scripture, I have grave doubts whether or not it is Scripture. Does that mean I know it all, have it all figured out, have all the answers? No. Just talk to my family. But we know the one who does. We know the one who wrote it. And not only wrote it, sent his son, who was the living word, so he could write it on our hearts. And not only that, then sent his spirit to lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us, convict us. Do you not think he will move heaven and earth to get you the answer if you seek it with a true heart? Did he not promise if you seek, you would find? If you knock, he would open it to you? I trust way more in his ability than in mine. I believe his desire is way more for me to know the truth and obey than even mine. And therefore I can rest that when I seek, he'll hear me. Oh, I live in a fallen world, and like Daniel, I'm sure I've heard the first day. Maybe the Prince of Persia withstood it. I doubt if I wrote anybody that high. But even then, it'll be all right, and after a while, he'll send Michael to take care of it. Many times, it's probably just me that he's working on, seeing if my patience is there, getting those things worked out of me. Sometimes he wants me to seek, me to search, me to look through. Many times, it's just like my children. They'll come to me and say, Daddy, I'm having trouble with this problem. And you read the problem, go, did you read the book? Yes, Daddy, I read the book. Well, you might want to read it one more time, because the answer's in there. It is? And they go back and read and go, oh, yeah. I missed that part. Meantime, Daddy does the same to me. Have you read the book? Oh, I read it, Daddy. No, I just need you on this. I'm believing you. Go back and read the book. Oh. Or more often, it's, are you sure that's the answer? That's the answer. Okay. Am I going to trust? Am I going to obey? I'm going to do it my own way. Lord, how many times are we going to buy that t-shirt? Exactly. We're going to brag about it. I did it my way. Yeah, and you're dying like your dad. I hate to see where you are today. Little fame, little fortune, ain't worth it. Let's go back to verse 31 again. But you stand here by me, let me speak to you the commandments, the laws, the right rulings, which you are to teach them, they shall do them in the land I've given them to possess. You shall guard to do as Yahweh Elohim has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the ways which Yahweh Elohim has commanded you, so that you live and it be well with you. You shall prolong your days in the land which you possess. Now in other places he said, where your feet shall trod, have dominion. Till the day when he calls us back to the land, when we see his kingdom restored, I don't know that the land will be open. But I know he's put me here. I know he's given me a family. He's told me to have dominion. He's given me the ability to see his right rulings. You know, when he spoke from the mountain, how much of the earth did he say he spoke to?
All.
All, not just those who were standing before the mountain. So all the earth heard his voice. So I'm assuming this is his land too, just like that land. I'm assuming he created it just like he created the other land. And while I may or may not be part of the land grant over there, I know that all of the earth is his, and all the fullness thereof. And one day he will renew the heavens and the earth. I'm pretty sure I'm in pretty good land to obey. Revelation, instead of Romans, it looks a little different. Let's just go to Romans 13. It said 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has filled the Torah. Now, I was taught that as a youth. That's all we had to do, love. And the problem is, what is love?
Following the law.
And if you ask Tina Turner, she has no idea. She don't even know what love has to do with it. You talk to other, it's the burning in my loins. You talk to others, it's the love of this. You talk to others, and it's almost impossible to find. But right after he says, love fills the Torah, he says, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And any of the other commands is summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Did he do away with the commandments, or did he say, this is law? The commandments were given because that is loving your neighbor as yourself. And not just the Ten Commandments, all the other mitzvahs, the ones that explained how to do that, was all because we are to love our neighbor. Is that not exactly what Messiah said? When they came and said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandment, the second. Why? Because he said, this fulfills all the Torah. This is what all the Torah was about, loving God. If all Torah is about loving God and it's been done away with, then guess what's been done away with? Loving God. Well, then who are you loving?
The enemy.
You say you love God and keep not his commandments, you are a
liar.
Christian. Oh, a liar. Truth's not in you. Why? Because Torah is love. So if you've done away with the Torah, you've done away with love. My question is again, who are you loving? Because Scripture says you're not loving God, you're a liar. That's New Testament too. That's John, the beloved, the disciple that laid his head on Jesus' chest. Again, when it gets to arguing with Scripture, arguing with man, I'm just going to go with what Scripture says. You can explain away what it means, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be like, you lose it, you're going to take a lot of explaining.
You can't explain it away.
You can't explain away, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Well, he told you. Told the whole earth. Told you over and over and over. I gave him so it'd go well with you. Told him over and over and over. I gave you to do these. I gave these to remember you. This is my covenant with you. If you've read the book, he gives you the answer. And a matter of fact, he expects life to be a open book test. Problem is, people read the cliff notes and expect to pass. And sometimes the cliff notes are written by people who ain't ever read the book either. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the completion of the Torah. What's evil? Well, the scripture says again, I set before you good and
evil.
Evil, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life by choosing to obey. You choose evil if you choose to disobey. Well, now let scripture define words for me. Love does no disobedience to a neighbor. For obedience, love is the completion of the Torah. That's not exactly what Yah said, not the blood of bull and goats, it's obedience. It's a contrite heart. Humility. What are all those things? Not my will, but thine be done. And do this. Do what? The completion of the Torah. Knowing the time that it is already the hour for us to wake up from sleep. For now our deliverance is nearer than when we did believe. The night is far advanced, the day has come near, so let us put off the works of darkness. Now is that Torah?
No.
Was Torah the works of darkness?
No.
Is Torah anywhere, even in the New Testament, called the works of darkness? Or was it called the perfect law of liberty? The law of grace, the Torah, whom if man shall do it, they shall live by it. But none have done it, all have fallen short, all have sinned. If you've broken the least of the commandments, you're guilty of them all. What the Torah wasn't able to do because it wasn't able to keep you from breaking it, Messiah came to do. His blood has paved the way. And now he has enabled you. He has given you his spirit. He has given you his strength. You die to self. You live to Christ. You offer yourself a living sacrifice that you may prove not to be conformed, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. That out of the abundance of the heart and the mouth will speak. That he will write his law on my inward member. Let's see if that's really what it says. Let's put off the works of darkness and let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk becoming as in the day. So that means we have on the armor of what? Dark or light?
Light.
Light, we're in the day. Not, so the not means what?
It's in the dark.
These things are going to be in the dark, not in the light, not in wild party, drunkenness, not in living together in indecencies, not in fighting and envy. So he tells us what are the works of darkness we're supposed to put off. And what were all of those things?
Sins.
Yeah, wild party was basically idolatry, temple prostitution, having other gods before him, using his name in vain, idol worship, all the things he said not to do, not in living together in indecencies. What was that? Adultery, coveting my neighbor's stuff, taking my neighbor's stuff, stealing, bearing false witness, murder, not in fighting and envy. Why would somebody get in a fight? Not fighting, that's mine, no, it's mine, that's mine, that's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, whatever. In envy.
Coveting.
Coveting. Not loving your neighbor. He gave the antithesis of what happens when you don't keep the commands.
If he gave the antithesis, what happens when you don't keep the commands? It's because he expected you to keep the commands. If he expected you to keep the commands, guess what? They hadn't been done away with. All been paid for, all done away with, what's it matter how we live? You know good and well it matters how we live. You know good and well it matters how people treat you. You don't want to marry around people who don't know how to act, don't know how to treat you. Neither does God. He doesn't expect you to live like that. You know what he told you with people like that? Put them out of camp. He didn't say put up with them. He didn't say tolerate them. He didn't say coddle them. He didn't say pat them on the head. You know what you did with sin?
Put it out of
you went and talked to them. The elders went and visited them. If man didn't repent, you took him before the congregation. If he still didn't repent, if it was a sin worthy of death, everybody stoned him. If it wasn't worthy of death, they cut him off. Put him out of camp. Get on down the road. Well, we don't hear that preached much in our churches, do we? And the New Testament tells us even why to do that. It said, turn them over to the tormentor if by any means he comes to like the prodigal son and goes, duh. The servants at my daddy's house have it better than me. Let me return and see if I can just be a slave. We want them to have consequences to their actions because we want them to learn there are consequences, and the ones in the next life are a whole lot worse than the ones in this life. But we coddle them in this life, take away the consequences in this life, and they have no clue there are going to be consequences in the next life. What a shame. We have a generation going up that have no idea what gender they are, what sex they are, what's good or not good. They share grades, they share work, everybody gets a trophy. We don't even keep score. Now they don't even want to work. They just send me a check. What do you expect? That's what we've trained them to do. Because the church started and said, oh, there's no law. There's no consequences. It's all paid. It's all good. Well, last time I traveled anywhere outside of my house, it wasn't all good. Last time I drove downtown, it wasn't all good. Last time I watched the news, it wasn't all good. And they know it too. Taking Yah's name in vain. They know good and well things ought not be like they are. And they know their life ain't working out. Their life's not happy. Their life's miserable. Problem is, so is most everybody else that they do, even the ones in the church. So why are you going to do what they do? Yah said, I looked for a man who would stand in the gap, but I found none. And so my wrath was poured out on the land. Are we finally going to stand up? Are we going to stand in the gap? You know what you stood in the gap for? What did you keep out? If you were standing in the gap, whatever ain't supposed to be in. You know how you can decide what's supposed to be in and not supposed to be in? You gotta judge. Well, how do I judge? I've been told don't judge. Because you've been lied to. Scripture never says don't judge. It says, don't judge, lest you be judged. Therefore, judge with righteous judgment. The judgment that you hold be the judgment that's given unto you. Scripture says, for me not to judge on my own. Scripture says, know a tree by its fruit. Scripture tells you plainly to look at a man's life. Especially if a man wants to be a leader. Get up in his business. See how his household is. See if it's in order. See what's going on. He'll tell you right quick whether or not he ought to be a leader. That sound like not judging? Scripture tells you if somebody does something wrong with you, you go to them and say, hey, I got a problem. If you don't listen, you take somebody with you that in the mouth of two or three witnesses and everything will be decided. If he still won't hear you, eventually you take him to the church, and if he don't hear you, what did it say to do with him?
Treat him like a publican and a sinner.
Put him out. Treat him like a publican and a sinner. Turn him over to the adversary. Wow, the exact same thing it said to do in Torah. So for now, there weren't the city elders sitting at the gates because we had lost it. We weren't in charge anymore. Through disobedience, we had been conquered. Now we could only do it in a fallen city. Now we had no idea whether something had been offered to the idol or not, because the whole city was in the hand of idolaters. Did that change the command not to eat something offered to an idol?
No.
No. But the command of life, you need to eat something to live, said, do the best you can. Don't eat something if you know it's been offered to an idol. But if it's clean, and it had been offered to an idol, you didn't know it, it's going to go through the waste system. But you might want to start preparing so you know where your food came from. Is that any different from us today?
Oh, we don't live in Corinth. None of our stuff's been offered to an idol.
Really? You still got aborted fetus cells in it? You don't think it's been offered to an idol? It's been GMO to bring in the maximum money and the least nutrition. You don't think that's an idol? It's been altered to try to make you dependent on it and crave it and desire it instead of listening to how God created your body. You don't think that's an idol? It's time we wake up. It's past the hour we're supposed to be awake. And to see that we need to be about His business. We need to be preparing. If we're going to see His kingdom come, His will be done, it starts here. It starts now. It starts with me. Getting the stuff out of my life so the mote is not in my eye, so, or the beam's not in my eye, so I can see the mote in your eye. That when the enemy comes to me, he'll find nothing in me, so I may be able to stand in that day. For you. For your loved one. For the stranger out there who needs it, who hasn't been heard, who hadn't been blessed with what we've been blessed with. So that I can be prepared and know whether or not I'm to help you or not. Know whether or not you're a sheep, a goat, or a wolf in sheep's clothing. May we prepare for the days ahead. May we truly have eyes to see and ears to hear. When you see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
Father, thank you that you have not left us comfortless. You sent us your Spirit, who has promised he would do nothing, but he revealed it to a servant. Father, may the scales fall off our eyes that we may see what you are revealing. Father, it seems almost impossible because we have not prepared as Noah did. We have not been building for the last 100 years. The enemy would discourage us and go, it's no use, there's no time, there's not the money, you don't have the ability. But Father, I don't trust in horses and chariots. I trust in obeying you and collecting and preparing, because I know you can fill it up with the little cruise of oil I have. You can make the flour and the oil go day by day by day by day if I'm obedient, if I follow your word. Father, it doesn't excuse me not preparing, but you can take that which I have prepared and you can make it enough. If I put it in your hands, it may seem like 5 loaves and few fishes to me, but you can feed the multitude. Father, I just have to obey. I have to have prepared. I have to have heard. I have to have acted. I have to have believed. And then we will truly see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.